episode 122, How to Get More Done with Less Overwhelm. Welcome to the First Year Married podcast, where we get real about building the marriage of your dreams. I'm marriage coach Kayla Levin, and I take newly married and engaged women from anxious and insecure to confident and connected through practical tips, real life inspiration, and more than a little self-awareness along the way. Hi, my friends. I'm so excited to be back with you today. How was your Yontif? How were your holidays? I hope everything was amazing, and I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure it was a good 50-50, right? There was probably some parts that were pretty great and some parts that were maybe a little overwhelming. I know those of you in the States were basically in Yontif or Erev Yontif nonstop. It felt like that even here in Israel, only keeping one day, and I cannot imagine. So I'm just really happy to be back and start to feel like there's a little bit of a regular schedule going on in our lives. I'm imagining some of you are feeling the same way. Okay, so before we get started, I'm really excited to talk to you about this topic today because I, as you know, I love hacks and I love deep thought work. And so today we're kind of going on the hack side, and I kind of feel like that's the energy we all need right now, diving back into life, something a little bit light and super, super helpful. So I'm very excited for today's topic, but I want to start just with a couple announcements that are very timely. So number one is that my newlywed mastermind registration is open for a few more days. And when I say newlywed, I don't mean just like everyone feels like they're a newlywed for the first 4.5 minutes and then they think that they've been married for forever. So I have actually extended this to the first 5 years because I'm a softie. So anyone in their first 5 years. So you can call yourself young married. So you can call yourself first five, whatever you want to say. But if you're in your first 5 years, the registration is open for a few more days for my mastermind. We start next Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which is like an amazing time. You're going to be fresh, able to focus, even if you're in Israel. 9 p.m. is not too late. You've got enough of your week left to apply the coaching that you get each week. So you can book a consult call if you want to talk to me about it, if you want to tell me about your situation and find out if this mastermind is really going to be able to help you with that. There's a link in the show notes to how to book the consult call with me. Or you can just email me directly to either reserve your spot or to hear more. So that's Kayla@firstyearmarried.com. But please, please don't wait too long. We start next week. I'm going to have to close the doors before we start, and we start next Wednesday at 2 p.m. Okay, so Kayla@firstyearmarried.com. This is if you are listening to the podcast and you really want to go deep on this work and you want to actually see the changes in your life beyond, you know, hopefully you're getting some inspiration. Hopefully you're actually really already seeing changes in your life from the podcast. But if you want to take this work much deeper and actually really understand how to use it, how to apply it to any situation in your life, we start with your marriage, because if you can do it with your marriage, you can do it with anything. But really, you're going to apply it to anything. And, you know, my husband always says, really, we should just market to the husbands, because all they need to know is they're going to get out of so much trouble when you join the mastermind. So much of the work that we have to do is really about our inner lives, our inner thoughts, you know, the things that we just get hung up on and we just cannot get over, because by and large, the women in these masterminds know that they're married to some pretty great guys, right? But our brains don't necessarily let us stay in that fantasy world, that la-la land for so long. And so there's a lot of work to do there. Doesn't mean that you don't work on your communication, that you don't start to get some things that you might be needing out of the relationship that you haven't been able to communicate before. That's definitely the main thing that I hear from so many people in the mastermind is the drama is all happening inside. If you want to go see some testimonials from women who have taken the mastermind, you can go to firstyearmarried.com/coaching and read about their experiences and how they're applying the work that we did there in their lives and seeing those changes already. Announcement number two is that due to popular request, there is going to be a group for women married longer forming as well. The time is still TBA, but it's probably going to be a weekday at either 1 or 2 Eastern time. Okay, so it'll be 1 or 2 Eastern time, 1 weekday during the week. So if you want to get on that wait list, it's still going to be limited to 6 women, and I've had several people request already. So I'm not sure if I'm going to even open that up to my general list. So if you want to get onto that list, please just email me directly, Kayla@firstyearmarried.com. Okay, and then the very last thing is that I have opened up a few spots for 101 clients. only during Israel hours. So I know those of you who've been waiting for 6 months, even like some of you I think have been waiting on my wait list for almost a year for one-on-one coaching during afternoons in the United States. So I'm not able to open those up. Those spots are not available, and I don't see when they're going to be available in the near future, unfortunately. But if you are in Israel or a nearby time zone, or if you're a very early riser, turns out some of you are willing to just wake up and do this before the day gets going. So if you're an early riser or in your nearby time zone, or some of you even are in California and you stay up very late, if you want to see about a one-on-one coaching spot, I just opened them up because I am foolishly hoping that schools will stay open. I'm just going to go on faith here that I'm that we're not all going to be into be dude. This is just how we have to function these days, right? So if you're interested in one of those spots and you think that that might work for your schedule, email me at kayla@firstyearmarried.com. Okay, so now I want to get into our topic for today. As I said, I love coaching. I love deep thought work. I also love hacks. And the truth is they really come both from the same thing. They both come from understanding your brain. Deep thought work obviously is from understanding the brain, right? What's motivating me? Why am I getting hung up on this? Why am I stuck on this? Why can't I be happy? Things seem to be like, it seems like things are working pretty much in my life. I should feel happier than that. That's thought work, right? Or I have this really big goal or this obstacle and I'm trying to deal with it. How do I manage it? Thought work. But hacks are also coming from understanding the brain, right? They're just a way of understanding how our brain, how to use our brain to make things better, faster, or easier, right? Understanding what motivates us, what holds us back, right? So it's really kind of the same way, but a very different energy. The hack I want to talk to you about today, I'm going to start with a story. Okay, so I think this was either Erev Sukkot or Erev Shabbos. I can't remember which. And I think it was Erev Sukkot. And so we were just coming out of Yom Kippur, and then there was Shabbos right away, and then we just had a second to catch our breath before going into Erev Sukkot. And so granted, for me, it is only one day, but still, you know, we were having guests, and I wanted to make challah and all these different things. And Thursday night, I decided I'm just going to sit down, and I'm going to write out a play-by-play of exactly what needs to get done, right? So I used to come from a perspective of like, you should just kind of be cooking for Shabbos all week, like throw up something each day while you're making dinner. And then by the time Shabbos comes around, there won't be that much more to do. And so this was very different. This was, I was planning everything for Friday morning, right? I don't work on Friday, so I know that's different for some of you, but I was planning everything for Friday morning in this pretty short period of time. And I know that normally like I'm kind of in and out and it takes me a while and I have trouble figuring out what to do next, right? So what I decided to do is Thursday night, I sat down with a cup of herbal tea and my planner. So I've got a shout out here to the Balabusta Daily Organizer because they have a big spot for making lists and just doing brain dumps of things you need to get done. So I just sat down with my planner and I wrote down an exact play-by-play of how I was going to make Shabbos. Okay? Because again, normally this stretches out over time. Like I start doing this and then I have to do the thing with the kids and then I do the thing with the laundry and then I'm back and then what was I doing and then what else did I want to make, right? And it just takes a very long time and I find it very mentally exhausting. Okay? But I wrote down a literal play-by-play of what I was going to do. I'm even going to read it to you, okay? So this is what was I going to do the next day when I woke up? Defrost the meat. Daven. First load of laundry. Put up the challah. That means like put together the actual like flour and stuff right in the bowl. Bake the chocolate chip bars. 15-minute cleanup. That was for the kitchen because after the challah, I make a really big mess. Braid the challah. Put up the soup. Move the laundry again. Remember, Sukkot was coming, right? So I was going to be able to do laundry for a long time and I have four kids. Eat something. Ladies, eating and drinking water on Erev Shabbos is something you should be prioritizing and putting on your list. Put up the roast. Then the vegetable soup, because we were having a vegetarian. Make the large rice. Make the large quinoa. Make the pesto chicken. Back to laundry. Bake challah. Bake chicken. Laundry. Can you tell that I didn't have my laundry cut up before? Vanilla cupcakes. Chia pudding. Clean again. Sponge. That's like mopping, for those of you who don't know Israel that well. Baths. And then laundry. Okay, so this was like a literal play-by-play. Everything that I needed to get done between from the time that I woke up until the time that I lit candles. Actually, I had a lot of time after this. I had a couple hours to like relax after this. And what was so amazing is that even though this was like, this is physically demanding to be folding the laundry, running upstairs, running downstairs, right? Like putting the food together, cooking. This is physically demanding, but what I noticed after following this list was that it was not mentally exhausting. Mentally, I was totally fine. And I was afterwards, I was like, how did that happen? I should have been really stressed out. I should have been really burnt out. That's how I normally go in. What's the difference in what I did here? Why did making the list make such a difference? Okay. The reason this worked is because we have a planning side to our brain. This is where we have executive functioning. Those of you who've worked with, you know, with students, if you're a teacher or anything like that, you learned probably a lot about executive functioning or OTs. And we have the execution side to our brain. So executive and execution are two different things, right? Executive means planning and forward thinking and big picture thinking. Execution means the making it happen, right? Rolling up your sleeves and getting to work. Obviously, you have more than these two pieces of your brain, but these are like, let's say, two modes, two channels that you could be tuned into. And I want you to literally think of it as an executive versus an employee, okay? And I'm just going to say this because I know there's some people out there who've never had a reason to actually know what CEO stands for. Sometimes people ask me this. It's totally fine. It might not have come up in your life. CEO, that's the person who runs a company, stands for chief executive officer. So again, executive functioning, right? Big picture thinking. What's that person do in the company? They stand back. They look at what needs to happen. They set the goals. And then they assign roles for people to make it happen. They tell people what they need to get done. And then the employee executes. The employee is the one who does the task that they're given. Okay. Now, obviously, in individual companies, some employees have a little bit more of an executive role, maybe on their team. But right now, I'm just talking about it. We're trying to make the comparison to your brain, right? So we're going to make it a little more black and white. If the executive had to get into the weeds every day and do the actual execution, do the actual work, it would be harder for her to hold on to the big picture of what needs to happen. And if the employee was in charge of running the place or a little bit in charge or didn't know how much they were in charge, it would be very hard for her to stay focused on just getting the job done. And your brain is the same way. So there's a part of you that's really good at planning and big picture, and there's a part of you that's really good at executing and getting the job done. So separating out your executive side, your planning side, from your execution side can save you a tremendous amount of mental energy, and it even helps you get a lot more done, right? This is what I realized happened for me with this list. Because I completely separated out my planning side from my execution side, when I woke up Friday morning, all I had to do was follow a list. There were no more decisions to be made. Whatever was on there was what was going to get made. I wasn't still evaluating. I wasn't going back for cookbooks, like, done. I just had to actually do the work. We also know about this phenomenon called decision fatigue. You might have heard it before. I've probably talked about it on the podcast. The idea of decision fatigue is there's a certain amount of decisions that a person can really make throughout their day, and at a certain point, we burn out. This is why if you've ever tried to follow any kind of meal plan or food, not meal plan, but if you've ever tried to follow any kind of healthy eating plan or even a diet, if you don't plan your food for the day, by the evening, you might have broken your diet or your plan for how you wanted to eat, right? Why is that? That's one of the first things that they tell you in a lot of these things is meal prep. Plan it out. Decide ahead of time what you're going to eat. Why? Because if you're making the decisions all day long, when you change the way you eat, there's a lot more decisions to make, right? Because you don't have all your normal go-tos. So you have to make all these decisions. At a certain point in the day, you just burn out. When do people break their diet? Usually at night, right? This is also why I've heard they say that Steve Jobs wore the same clothes every day, because he didn't want to spend his precious decision-making energy on what to wear. Now, most of us would agree that that's a great place to spend some decision-making energy, maybe not too much of it, right? But for him, he was making big decisions. He was trying to be a visionary, think big. He didn't want what he was going to wear that day to burn up any of that energy. So if you're constantly reevaluating your plan, which is what I do when I don't function off of a list, right? I'm constantly moving back into the executive role. You're constantly making and remaking decisions. I want to go back to the business analogy just to drive this point home a little bit. Imagine you're the employee. You're executing the job that your CEO gave you to do. Okay. So they told you Monday morning, you got to work, you were given your assignment, and you got cracking. Yeah. 2 hours later, the CEO wanders in and asks you what you're doing. You're like, well, that's weird. You know, she's the one who told me what to do, but okay. And you tell her, And then she starts worrying. And she starts saying to you, I don't know, is that really what you should be doing, you think? Do you think that maybe you should be doing this? What do you think? I'm not sure about that. So how frustrating would that be, right? Because when you got a job and you're doing the assignment, if you can do the assignment, you can feel confident and good, and you just get into the flow of doing the assignment. But if you're not even sure if this is the assignment you should be doing, then that's exhausting. It's very frustrating. So we do that to ourselves all the time. So the tool I want to offer you this week is planning versus execution. I'm sure you have the idea by now, but I'm going to bring it home, make it super clear for you. This does not only have to do with Shabbos cooking, by the way, in case I didn't make that clear. This could be how you're going to spend your week. This is going to be, it could be what you're going to wear that week. It could be how you're going to follow your eating plan or your exercise plan. This could be things you need to get done with work, right? This can come out in any area where you both need to make decisions and execute on those decisions. Okay? So the job that I want, the tool I want to offer you is to separate these out very distinctly. So what happens during planning time? Planning time is when I step back and I'm looking at the big picture. And this is the important part. This is when I make the decisions. Often we procrastinate decisions, and that's what pulls us back into executive functioning throughout the task. Because I didn't quite decide this will happen this week, this will not happen this week. I wasn't willing to make that decision because I was in such a rush to get to execution. I was so stressed out about, I need to get everything done. Let me just get started. I didn't take the time to plan. Okay. It's not an accident that I sat down specifically with a mug of herbal tea to make my list. I wanted to give myself a physical symbol that right now my job is to sit and to use my brain. Right? So herbal tea, I associate that with relaxation and with sitting. My job is not to use my body right now. My job is to use my brain. And I also have this when I'm in execution mode, I actually light a scented candle. I don't know why, because that should also be relaxing. You can be relaxed while you're executing, but something about having that scented candle, it's almost like having a stopwatch or a timer in the room. It like just reminds me every time I see it, I'm meant to be doing this task. It keeps me on task. Plus I love scented candles. So like win-win, right? So when you're in the planning mode, you can get yourself the herbal tea or the coffee, whatever you want. You have to make the decisions for whatever the time frame is that you gave yourself. So for me, I gave myself Shabbos. I also do this when I plan my week. Okay? At the beginning of my week, I make the decisions, all the decisions about what I will accomplish that week. And whatever doesn't go on there doesn't happen that week unless there is some kind of emergency. Of course, if my kid needs to stay home sick or needs to get picked up from school, I'm not going to say, I'm sorry, that wasn't on my calendar, right? But the majority of where we lose our time is not in those emergencies that come up, okay? The other thing that's really important when you're making your decisions and we're planning for whatever this is, whether it's your week or whether it's a job thing or if it's your Shabbos prep, is you treat your employee, which remember, that's going to be you soon, right? You treat your employee well. You want to be a good CEO and you want to be a realistic CEO, right? You want to play on this person's strengths and you don't want to challenge them too much with their weaknesses. If I know that my employee really never rolls out of bed before 8 a.m., I'm not going to suddenly decide that she's going to start working out at 6:30 in the morning, right? I might work up to that. I might make a couple suggestions. She could try that this week, right? I might maybe do something at 7:45, right? But I want to be realistic. I don't want to burn out my employee. I want to make sure she has time to eat. She has enough sleep, right? I'm thinking about her as somebody that I want to take care of, right? So that she's like really going to be effective. And once you've finished your tea and you finished your list and you finished your calendar, by the way, I personally think Google Calendar is amazing for this because you can color code it. You can get things down to 15 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute increments, like however you need it to be. And so I just personally love this. This is different, by the way, than zero-based scheduling, which some of you have heard from one of my first podcast episodes. They go together beautifully. We can talk about that in an upcoming episode if you want. Just shoot me an email if you want to hear a little bit more about that, right? This is sitting down, making the plan. So then once I've done my plan, right? So you want to have a very specific time frame. Maybe Motzei Shabbos, you make your plan for the week. Maybe Monday morning, maybe Sunday at a certain time. You make a very distinct time frame where you are going to be in planning mode. And then that's it. When I do this for the week, it's only once a week. Okay. After Shabbos, I do another one. And I actually shifted. I'll decide Motzei Shabbos. Do I want to do it now? Sometimes I'm so eager to get going in my week that Motzei Shabbos, it's really good for me to sit down and plan. And then usually it'll be Sunday morning. Once you finish that, you've put away your herbal tea, you've got your list, everything's written up, you move into execution mode. And you move into execution mode whenever you've decided to start executing, right? Whenever your first task is. Okay, so I did this Thursday night. I knew that it was going to be Friday morning when I woke up. That's when I started. That's when I'm in execution mode. This is when I roll up my sleeves, metaphorically or literally, and get to work. Okay, when my brain wants to move back into decision making, right? So let's say I'm cooking my Shabbos meal. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe it would be better to make this. I gently redirect it back to the task at hand. Okay, I'm halfway through my week and I'm like, oh, I'm not in the mood to record my podcast right now. I gently redirect my brain back to the task at hand. The way this looks for my week is I literally just pull up my Google Calendar and I just look at it. That's enough. If I'm in my planner doing Shabbos, I just look at my list. Okay, I just give myself that visual cue. This is what you're doing right now and just go. And I want you to know, this is very important, your brain will try to redirect you. That's kind of its job, right? You want to plan for that. Why is that its job? Because your brain's job is to just conserve your energy. And so, at least that's what it thinks its job is. We have other ideas, right? But your brain knows that doing the thing is a lot more work than thinking about doing the thing. It would much rather stay in indecision than be in execution, because execution requires calories, okay? But the truth is that it also leads constantly coming back to evaluation, constantly coming back to planning, leads to a lot of mental fatigue and actual physical fatigue, because getting the work done takes so much longer when you're moving in and out of these two modes. Okay, so this is the tool that I'm offering you this week. I cannot wait to hear how it goes for you. Some of you probably already have some kind of modified version of this, right? Something that you do along these lines, but I hope that bringing your awareness to it, why this works, why this is so effective, is going to help you even use it on another level. I'd love to hear where you want to start implementing this. So you can always shoot me an email or Instagram me at First Year Married. Let me know how this is going. Even if you want to, if you are on social, take a screenshot of this podcast episode and then you can share it with what you're going to focus on for your planning versus execution time. Tell me when you're doing it. You could take a picture of your herbal tea, right? We'll all get in on this together. So I hope that as we are now executing, I mean, this is such a great analogy, right? If you think about it, for the Jewish calendar and where we are in the Jewish calendar. What did we do during Elul, right? What did we do when I did the whole like Elul Your Marriage series and all the work that you did, and maybe you took courses or you did journaling or maybe you did nothing, you just kind of thought about it in the back of your head. It's all good, right? But what do we do during Elul is we're in planning mode, right? We're trying to get to big picture. And then what's holding us back? And then we want to, really the beginning of execution is Malchus and Teshuvah. So that's how we start our execution for becoming the person that we want to be. And then what's the rest of this year? It's different parts of our execution, right? We're now in execution mode. And it's so easy. Some of us just really want to keep going back to the planning mode because it keeps us from having to take action. When we're in planning mode, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to fail. We don't have to try something we've never tried before. But I want you to know that when you get into that execution, and I'm sure you've all experienced this on some level, it feels so good. It's such a great feeling. You get to get into that flow. You move out of this sort of anxious space, right? Not that planning needs to be anxious, but when you move back to planning, when you started executing, it can feel very anxious or very confusing or overwhelming. Right? So really, really, I want you to take this tool and give yourself a dedicated time to plan. When I'm stressed out and overwhelmed, my rule is I cannot start working unless I have a list. I know that the more I have to do, the more I need to lean on this tool, on separating out my planning side from my execution side. Okay, so again, I can't wait to hear from you on this. Have an amazing, amazing week. And those of you who are ready to sign up for the Newlywed Mastermind or want to get on the list for the Married Longer Mastermind, just shoot me an email, kayla@firstyearmarried.com. I want to save you a spot and get you in there. These are going to be my last ones that I'm offering in 2021. So nothing else is happening until January. So I really want to get you going. Okay. Amazing. So good to speak with you. Can't wait to hear from you all. Have an amazing week. Bye-bye.